After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Deuce and Mo. They tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo. The podcast that you know.
Hey, welcome into the Deuce and Mo podcast, recording this on a Saturday night. Happy 316 day. The Kings were looking to pull off a stunner and beat the Knicks in ugly fashion, but New York got dirty. They got nasty, and Jalen Brunson played at an all-NBA level, getting MVP chants from the fans at Golden 1 Center, all the Knicks fans in attendance, and the Knicks hold another opponent under 100 points for the fifth consecutive game, and they beat the Kings tonight at Golden 1 Center 98-91. With the loss, the Kings are 38-28 and dropped to the seventh seed in the NBA's Western Conference. This podcast presented by our friends over at Northwest Exteriors. Check out TrustNorthwest.com. I'm Deuce Mason. That's Morgan Reagan. Morgan, how you doing after this game? Did you get a little bruise from that?
Oh, do that one more time.
Get a little bruise from
Did
that?
Did you get a bruise from that?
I played through it. It was a physical game.
It was.
It felt like a playoff game tonight.
Honestly, there'd be no foul called even in that situation right there. Like, that's exactly how the game was called.
You're really irritated with the officiating tonight. And this is a bigger topic around the NBA. They're just not calling fouls like they used to.
Love that.
It should be noted, the Kings shot more free throws than their opponent, which is rare. They were 21 of 26 at the free throw line this game. There were definitely some moments tonight where you're like, like early in the first quarter, Isaiah Hartenstein had Sabonis by the hip. That should have been a foul. Then brought him to the ground, like tackled him to the ground. No call.
Football.
But this is not why they lost the game
tonight.
No. But it was that type of game. The physicality was unbelievable.
And then even in a moment, and I've seen this happen in other NBA games, I don't even give a shit who it was going to be on. It should just be no call when Dante DiVincenzo and Malik Monk both went for the ball at the same time, and then the foul gets called on Malik Monk. Even if it went on Dante DiVincenzo, I'd have been like, yeah, but it's not a foul. And that those moments.
Well, and then later on, the same happened. They said, oh, they didn't call a foul. They said it was going to be a jump ball. Tom Thibodeau challenged that play, and then they overturned it, saying the ball went off Monk. I'm like, well, he got absolutely crushed. But nonetheless, that's not the headline in this one. The headline, though, was the physicality. The headline was that the Kings and Knicks played an ugly, grinded-out game that was exactly the New York Knicks style. This is how they want to play all the time. This is what they want to do. And the Knicks, let's be honest about this, they have found ways. They have a style, and they're doing it without key guys. Julius Randle's out. Mitchell Robinson's out. OG just came back. He's been battling through an elbow thing. That's obviously impacted him offensively, but defensively, he is a beast. Brunson was unbelievable with 42 points. As you step back and look at this game where the Kings are held under 100 points, where are you at right now? How are you feeling after this game from the Sacramento Kings?
I had so much fun watching this game. And I know you're going, what? What? Like, they lost. Yes, they lost. And it's not one of those games where I'm like, oh, but that's okay. No, no, no. I don't feel any of those things. But I really, there's something different about this game, the physicality. I think what the Kings, the experience of this physicality that the Kings can gain from this experience that I'm like, great, even though there's a lot of different things at the end. I just wish they would have changed, especially in non-Jalen Brunson minutes. I know we'll get to that. But truly, I enjoyed the way that both these teams played until the end when the Kings weren't executing, when the offense looked a little bit more chaotic. I know we talked about this on the way back here, the fast break points in the beginning of the game for the Sacramento Kings. It was like 2, and then they ended up finishing with 12, which much better in that second half. But it just felt like the Knicks were like, here's the game that we're going to play. And that's what we do with our last 5 opponents. And it's the only way that you can play. Have fun trying to break out of it. The Kings couldn't break out of it.
The shooting just wasn't good enough tonight. And it was on some open looks, too. I mean, I thought Keegan, especially early in this game, all of his looks were great. He missed all of them. Kevin Huerter, who returned to the lineup tonight, he was in the starting lineup for Mike Brown, only played 15 minutes and 58 seconds in this game, but he had a couple open looks, including one where he had time to like take a dribble, shoot it, missed it. He airballed another one. The Kings were getting fantastic looks. Those were early on in the game. I think as the game went on, I thought the Knicks did a tremendous job at getting the Kings in the half court, and they pack the paint. They make it so challenging. I thought the Kings took some shots even in the mid-range that you didn't love, and they weren't effective in the mid-range tonight. I was on Cleaning the Glass looking at the final numbers in the mid-range. Okay. Sacramento in this game was 7 for 25 in the mid-range. Jesus. In this game. They were 13 of 23 at the rim in this game. They missed 10 shots at the rim.
You know, I think the physicality really, even if, obviously not in those open threes, but I'm talking about more in that mid-range game and what they were missing. And getting to that point and having to work to that point disrupted the way that the shot was going to be, right? It disrupted the way that maybe the amount of energy they would have within their legs to push with that mid-range shot by the time they got to that spot, you know? And that's what a good defensive team does. And that's exactly what the Knicks did. I just thought that they were still going to see trouble at times trying to defend De'Aaron Fox while Sabonis was going to be battling through and Malik Monk could get his. You know, he had a nice little pocket pass to Sabonis. Probably not enough of that two-man game for them either. But yeah, the Knicks, the way they navigated screens, they broke up DHOs. They do so many things on like this beautiful fundamental level, and they're really in sync with one another. And when there are those breakdowns, not only do you see Tibbs, like it's like steam comes out of his ear like a cartoon, you know, like he just goes wild when it's just the most minimal breakdown, but it just doesn't happen enough. So when the Kings did have second and third chance opportunities too and not capitalizing because of chaos, that's when it was frustrating.
One of my keys going into the game was the Kings needed to make sure to win the second chance battle. They actually did. They won that 12 points to 7 points on second chance points. Offensive rebounds, the Kings had more offensive rebounds by one. The Knicks ended up out-rebounding him by the end because the Kings missed so many shots. It was 52-42 in this game. The Kings did a good job taking care of the ball. Only 12 turnovers tonight, right? But again, they missed so many shots in this game. And I think some of them were open for sure. And then some of it was just outstanding Knicks defense. I mean, they do such a great job defending. I mean, the on-ball pressure, the help, the rotation, they really want to, they clog up the paint. The Kings want spray threes, right? We talked about this so often. Mike Brown says it every single game. Their goal is to get 20 spray three attempts. That means we're talking about attempts where you get some dribble penetration in the paint and spray out to the open shooter, get the ball moving around, and get looks from three. They want 20 of those attempts per game. Tonight against the Knicks, they only got 9.
Yeah.
And I think the challenge is, like, he wants his team to do more. The Kings just have to be more decisive in these moments. And I think they're so used to having some choices when they get in the paint where, yeah, we have the option to spray for three. Against the Knicks, you like have to do it because they do such a great job protecting the paint. They're one of the best teams in the NBA. They allow some of the, I think, near the top in the fewest points in the paint allowed. Mm-hmm. They're tremendous.
And it's not fluky because of one guy. Yep. It's this really good team defense that works together. And not to say that it's not like we're acting like this defense is unbreakable. And you saw the breakable moments. But then there's these other moments where just the way they make opponents work, like, for example, you know, you're looking for those spray threes and it's not there. Malik Monk had this step back three, made it against Dante DiVincenzo later on in the game. And I remember seeing it. I was like, how did he even make that? Like, DiVincenzo's hand was right there. My point to that example and that shot was how closely contested every shot felt at times. Most shots in the mid-range. Because I did feel like there were so many open threes, especially in the beginning of the game, because of the way that maybe the ball was being swung around. And then Tibbs changed up his game plan or said something. And that flow really changed in the second half, too.
I thought the Kings did a good job matching with physicality, for sure.
Yeah.
But the thing that I don't think they did well was dealing with the Knicks' physicality. Meaning, I think they got caught up too much in the officiating.
Yeah.
You have to keep playing through it. The Knicks set the tone. They play that way all the time. And for Sacramento, keep playing that way. And it's going to work out for you. They have three games in a row now where I think they played good defense. In fact, now in the month of March, they are eighth in defensive rating. In the month of March, their offense dropped tonight. So their offensive rating dropped to eighth. So they're eighth in offense and eighth in defense in the month of March. My favorite thing about tonight's game was that the Kings shot under 32% from the field in the second half. They are 5 of 19 from three, and they had a chance to win it.
I was like, that's your favorite thing?
Yeah, because
you finished it with something that I understand why it's your favorite
thing. I've got the second half box score right here. The Knicks in the second half outscored Sacramento 45-43. That was the second half. The Knicks shot 36%. Yeah. They were 4 of 20 from three.
Here's my question, because even, you know, I know someone like in our chat, Scuba, for example, likes to be very negative.
Yeah.
And he says Fox is bitching too much to the refs. Now, what I will say is this, but wasn't there a time that we're also getting very frustrated when he's not bitching enough and then he's not getting the calls, and then it's like, oh, you got to say something, you got to stand up. And I guess my pushback would be is that I thought they did a pretty good job of not allowing the refs to completely take them out of the game. If anything, I thought it was truly the physicality, like them getting hacked hands down, kind of took them more out of the game than the actual like officials not calling it.
I had no problem with the technical. I don't have a problem with the technical. What I have is during a play when you get hit a little bit, like there was one play, I think, where Brunson made contact with Fox, and Fox is turning the gesture to the official. The play's ongoing, and then there was a switch, and now Brunson is targeting Sabonis, it messes up everything.
Absolutely.
Like, during a play, that can't happen. You have to keep going. I don't have a problem with technical, because after Fox got that technical in the third quarter, then very next play, he picked Jalen Brunson, got a steal. And if I'm not mistaken, let's see here, Fox steals it from Brunson. That was a great, great play right there. And the Kings, that's the other thing about tonight. We have not seen the Kings this season have a game where they force so many late shot clock situations.
Yeah.
I think the Knicks had four shot clock violations tonight. When's the last time the Kings did that? I mean, I don't think that's happened this season.
Yeah.
They forced four of them tonight. They competed their asses off defensively, but they have to find a way to manufacture offense, even when teams are playing physical. I thought Fox was missing a ton of shots tonight. That happens, and people are going to kill Fox, like, oh, he's got to be better. Jalen Brunson this. Jalen Brunson was awesome. Jesus. Fox had an off night. He was still battling his ass off. I had no problem with how he played. He missed shots tonight. The one critique would be he sold too much from three. The thing I noticed tonight, though, is guys shying away from offense. Keegan Murray tonight, unless he was open, was far too passive.
Okay.
Keegan Murray was so hesitant. Yeah. Davion Mitchell did not play a lot in this game. For a guy who's been so decisive lately, he was so hesitant. He wasn't looking to shoot. He wasn't looking to score. Same with Keegan Murray. If you're out there, I don't give a shit who's in front of you. You have to play with force all the time. It doesn't matter who you're going up against. I know other teams aren't as physical. You have to have the same approach no matter who you're going up against. Did you see the same thing?
So what I saw from Keegan, I saw this one specific moment, possession, offensive possession, where someone is at the top. Sabonis, I think, got the ball and was looking at Keegan like, are you going to come or are you going to come? And instead of he had different actions he could have chose. And it was like he didn't choose an action with force. He didn't choose a DHO. And then when he chose the back door on this specific possession that I'm talking about, he didn't flow through with a purpose. And I was like, well, then you're just expecting Sabonis to figure it out. And when you're just trying to tell your leaders on the team, figure it out, right there, you're going to lose the game because everyone is needed when times are hard. And tonight, times were very hard. And, you know, Malik faces that challenge and doesn't give a shit. De'Aaron will do the same thing. Sabonis, he tried, whether it was good or bad, especially in the fourth, he tried, or in the second half, he tried. He didn't shy away from it. But you're exactly right. I didn't notice it so much with Davion, but with Keegan, now that you mentioned, I definitely do.
Yeah, and so you talk about Sabonis tonight. You look at the final numbers, and you go, okay, well, Sabonis at 21 points, 14 rebounds. The one that jumped out to me, 2 assists, which is crazy. You know, guys aren't knocking down shots, and the defense of the Knicks, they do such a great job, right?
Screwing with the flow.
Sabonis had 5 turnovers in this game. In the second half, though, he had 3 points, 4 turnovers, 1 of 5 shooting. So 4 of his 5 turnovers came in the second half of this game. He had 3 points in the entire second half. They did a great job. And I thought the one late that really cost them was that the play where it's still a close game, right? Mm-hmm. Sabonis has the ball in the post. 3 guys are around him swiping, trying to force a turnover. And he panicked, you know? And I think they called him for a double dribble at that point. It was a turnover, and that was the game.
Well, it was funny because you and I were texting. I'm like, they're hacking the shit out of him, dude. Like,
they're not calling that in that moment, though. You know that.
But if it was Steph Curry, they're calling it. So, you know, and like that's where I'm like, it was to me in that moment, Deuce. I'm just going to say this. In that moment, it was an obvious enough hack. It wasn't. They weren't swiping.
I don't think they hit him that hard. I don't think. I thought it was marginal. I think Morgan, the first one they missed. They might have hit him a little bit.
But growing up playing defense, what are you taught? You're taught to swipe up, right? Like you're playing defense, you know, you're pulling the bar up. Because if you go here, it's going to be a foul. Obviously, NBA, different level. We're looking at different things. But I thought that there was multiple hacks there. In my opinion, I could be wrong.
So it's 94-91. That's when he gets called for a double dribble with 54.9 seconds to go. So you have that blunder, but now you need a stop. Man, Keon Ellis has been playing some great basketball for Sacramento. He's been a bright spot, even tonight. He had some really strong moments for the Kings. But this one is
killer.
One that everyone on social media is watching right now. Anyone watching the game is talking about it.
Poor guy.
Keon Ellis defending Jalen Brunson, the guy who has been an absolute killer in this game. 3-point game, right? Keon Ellis got caught looking, man. He was worried about the screen coming.
He wanted to navigate it the right way.
He looked left. He looked right. And then Brunson gave him a point. Keon turns his head again. And good night, Brunson. Blows by him, attacking with a floater bucket, making it 96-91. First of all, fantastic move by Jalen Brunson.
Yeah.
You know, they're looking like, oh, maybe he's just trying to get the switch. No, Jalen Brunson's like, I'm playing mind games with you because I'm
locked in.
I've been in this game for a minute now. I know how to play. And Keon was too worried about the screen in that situation, and Brunson got that basket.
You know, and I asked Chelsea Gray about it after the game, you know, like what was kind of what happened there. And she kind of said the same thing. Like he was looking for the screen rather than listening for the screen, right? Like when your teammates are calling it out, you know, Sabonis is a communicative guy. Like he's going to shout that one out. And the fear of that screen coming up. Now, I said this to Chelsea too. I go, yeah, but like you never had a concussion from some like hard screen or your shoulder come out of your socket. And she starts knocking on wood on the table. And she goes, no, don't put that on the universe. I'm like, that's happened to me multiple times. Like, you know, and I think about all these different body types and just all these different mindsets of like taking a hit or how you want to navigate that hit. And I think for Keon, it was not trusting a voice and a teammate talking to him. He just thought that the hit was coming and he was searching.
We're spending so much time talking about the end of the game. Here's where I think the game was lost tonight.
Okay.
It's early in the fourth quarter. Brunson's on the bench to start the fourth quarter. The Kings entering the fourth quarter were down by one, right? It's 75-74. Keegan opens up the quarter, hitting a three to put the Kings up. Keegan's first three-point make of the game for Keegan, his only three-point make. He was one of seven from beyond the arc in this game. After that, you had a Bojan Bogdanović turnover. Ellis with a great steal. Monk misses a three.
Oh, yeah, I remember
tough.
That.
Tough. Anyway, then you had a situation where Fox misses a three-pointer. Next possession for the Knicks, shot clock violation.
Oh, love it.
Man. Then there's a jump ball situation. Malik Monk wins it. Monk misses a three. So they're not scoring. You're like, okay, here, you got to get some buckets at some points. Bogdanović misses a three-point attempt. Fox gets fouled, makes two. It's 79-75. And this is where it gets really interesting. This is the swing play of the game, in my opinion. Precious Achiuwa, turnover. Keon Ellis in transition. Achiuwa gets back. Ellis misses the layup. Malik Monk, put back dunk! Misses the dunk. Then, a missed layup. A missed three-pointer on a second chance from Burks. Fox comes back down, pushing in transition. High floater off the window! No good. Bogdanović hits a three. It's a one-point game. Mm-hmm. By the time Brunson comes back in the game, after the Kings go absolutely cold, the Knicks are ahead. It's 82-79 when he returns.
So those swing plays, I mean, that you were mentioning in the main one that you're mentioning at the beginning of the fourth, where my moment was felt, you were almost coming up to it.
Yeah.
It was the back-to-back missed free throws by Sabonis at 79, when it was 79-78. 8:30 left in the fourth. And you go, what?
That's true, you because know, like, you kind of stopped the bleeding for a second.
But it wasn't that, you guys. It was he missed the bunny while getting fouled, so he didn't get the end one. And I'm like, oh shit. All right, just make your free throws. He misses both. I felt a certain
He was
energy,
frustrated.
Well, not from him, from the entire team. I felt like those missed free throws deflated the entire team at that moment.
Well, and it was deflating because that Keegan three-pointer I mentioned to put the Kings up by two, that happened at the 11:32 mark of the fourth. Their next field goal was a Harrison Barnes three at 6:39.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I remember the two free throws missed, and then it felt like nothing was generating after that. It just felt like a different type of energy. And again, if that happens, get over it and find a way, but that's just what I felt.
And you're going, Deuce, Mo. You're talking about stuff that happened early fourth quarter when it was still a close game. Against this Knicks defense,
every possession,
points are at a premium, especially tonight. I mean, you're going, God, what's happening? There's no scoring whatsoever. That hurt you tonight. So
someone in the chat says, I love our defense. I'm a Knicks fan. Yeah, well, don't blame
me. Yeah, you should be fired up. Tom Thibodeau, dude. That guy gets it. The Knicks have a whole bunch of dogs, man.
Yeah.
It's nasty. City of Trees is not sure why they didn't run the offense through Sabonis more like usual. I think it was challenging. I mean, the Knicks did a great job. I think their adjustment in the second half, Sabonis was feasting in the first half, right? He missed three shots, 18 points, seven rebounds. He's going at Hartenstein. He was going at Precious. No problems. but they were throwing more at him this time around. And, you know, this Knicks defense is just beyond legit. So for Sacramento, it's finding a way to dictate the pace more. And some of this, too, is hitting some open shots early. Jeez, if you can hit some open shots, break it open. They miss so many open looks, and then you're missing shots. They can pee their asses off defensively. They had their chances in this game. It's one of those weird games where, like, I'm irritated because it's late in the year and they lost, and every game matters, like we keep talking about, and it's another home game they lose. But you're like, on the other hand, going, they battled their shit. I mean, this was tough tonight. No, they shoot 35% in the game and had a chance.
No, and I something else I had mentioned on the post-game show, I was like, as an NBA fan, man, have I enjoyed watching Jalen Brunson. I watch him on League Pass. He's so fun. I love seeing him dominate. When you watch him against the team you root for, against the team you cover, I hate him. He is so good. He is so good from a mental standpoint, from a physical standpoint, from things that he can do on the floor. And, you know, when he gets hot, he gets going. And something, I thought this was a great point that Chelsea had pointed out. She goes, watch when Davion Mitchell's on guarding Jalen Brunson. It's not enough. And we're watching, and Davion's, you know, all up in him, doing what he can. But as soon as he saw an undersized guard, he was like, I'm going. I know I have a little bit more over him. I know what I'm going to do. So then it was like, add length. Well, you add De'Aaron, you add Keon, and they tried being physical, and he just got his. He was on fire.
Davion had some nice moments against Miles McBride. I mean, not that that's some crazy-ass matchup, but, there was that one moment in the first half where he was just playing some great on-ball defense, and then Sabonis came over and helped. They forced a jump ball. But you're right. You know, Brunson, that's the one thing with Davion is, as good as his on-ball defense is, it's just challenging because sometimes guys are just bigger and they could shoot over you. No matter what you do, no matter how much pressure you put on, you put a hand up, it's not good enough. So the other thing I think for Sacramento, like big picture-wise from a physicality standpoint, I just don't feel like they have a lot of guys who embrace physicality. I think Domas does for the most part. He gets frustrated, though, at times, right, when people are being physical with him. He'll be physical on the offensive end.
Yeah.
I think sometimes when guys are bumping him, he doesn't like it. He gets frustrated. But he's a physical guy.
Okay.
Fox plays with physicality, especially defensively. I like that. I think Monk embraces it. Just not the biggest guy. Davion, Keon. But Keegan has to embrace it a little more. I still don't think Keegan, in his second year, is to the point that he realizes, like, dude, you're pretty big, man. You got good size.
When
like,
he came into
you
this-
can move somebody.
When he came into the season, I think that was one of the first things that we noticed a leap with the way that he was not being soft at the rim and going to the rim with authority on the offensive end. And then on the defensive end, really doing a good job of moving laterally, relying on his length, being able to stay with someone, contest. But you're exactly right. Don't just rely on that. Make sure that you understand your size as well and your strength as well, and that you utilize that on both ends of the floor to be this force, right? And so then if someone is giving it to you, give it back. Do what you need to do right back at them.
You have to embrace that. I think defensively, he's cool with being physical. That's the one area I like about Keegan. I thought Keegan in the first quarter, he had some incredible defensive plays. He had a block, a steal. He took a charge, had a couple of deflections. I'm looking at his final numbers. He played 33 minutes tonight. Okay, he got credit with a block, did not credit for a steal. I swore he had a poke away. Nonetheless, I thought he had some really nice moments defensively. I just think from an offensive standpoint, he's grown a lot in terms of like adding to his game. He's just not confident to do it against the really good defensive teams, against the teams that are going to put a lot of pressure on you. You know, I've seen moments late in shot clock in games this year where the clock's winding down, he's got the ball, and he's really decisive with it. I've said this to you before. I sometimes want him to have that mindset. The shot clock's at 4 when he's touching the ball. Be quick. Be decisive with it. You've got the size. You've got the strength. You've shown the finishing ability. If anything, good. Go draw a foul. Get to the free throw line because you can knock down your free throws. Yep. He hasn't missed a free throw in a long ass time. I want to see more of that from Keegan Murray as he develops his game.
Yeah, just taking initiative, being the guy out there because he's capable of doing it with just his, his physique, right? Like who he is out there on the floor, his body size, especially in this day and age of the NBA, and then his skill set. Yes, please.
I want to get some numbers in March here. Because there's been some good. I mentioned so far in the month of March, the Kings are, 5-3 now after this loss tonight. They're 8th in offense, 8th in defense. Some things looking good. One area that's not looking good, shooting from guys who were really good shooters for them last year. And shooters that this year have been beyond inconsistent. The two being Kevin Huerter and Keegan Murray. Kevin Huerter in the month of March, 7 games, he is shooting 32% from the field, 32.7% from the field. He is 7 of 28 from 3. We'll start with him, Morgan. He plays just under 16 minutes tonight, 0 for 3, 0 for 2 from beyond the arc. He does not look confident right now.
No. Best thing about this, though, with the way that he was playing, that it's like I mentioned, all... since we've seen opportunities from Keon Ellis and everything, it's him just having a shorter leash, still being in that starter position, but being like, okay, shorter leash. If you're not hot or if you're not getting it done, then you're not going to see those minutes. And on a night like this, it was exactly that. And him not feeling confident in some of those open threes, like that's supposed to be part of your identity. That corner three when he took that dribble and took a hot second, like he hesitated. Those are the hardest shots, they say, in the NBA. You know, that was something Matt Barnes always said. Like, those are hard. Yeah, yeah, I get that. So take that. You had so much time. Take that dribble so you're in a flow, not so you're just like, okay, feeling good. Like, it's a free throw line. Take that dribble so it's all in one rhythm.
That's what I'm saying is, like, why... I understand you're open and guys, hey, take your time with, you don't have to rush it, but like do it in the flow because you never shoot like that in a game. So why would you shoot like that? Do you shoot like that at practice where you stop, look at the hoop, take a dribble to, no, that's, you're right. It's not a free throw. Like take the shot, dude.
Yeah. So that, and then the air ball was frustrating.
Yeah. And I felt like, so he's not playing with a lot of confidence on the offensive end. Defensively, I thought in the third quarter, he had a really nice poke away. Fox was able to score in transition. He had a nice moment, too, a little two-man action with Sabonis that was nice. It wasn't like it was all bad for him, but, you know, Keon Ellis is just playing better. Keon Ellis has just been the more consistent player. You know, it's not like Keon Ellis filled it up tonight, and, you know, he's got one of the low lights, right, at the end of the game with turning his head and letting Brunson blow by him. And, of course, that moment in transition early in the fourth quarter where he missed that layup. But, you know, he is so active defensively. I love the pressure he puts on. I really like the lineup when you see Fox, Ellis, and Keegan out there. You're like, dude, those are three guys that are going to get after it defensively. And you can't tell me that Keon's defense isn't contagious. But, yeah, Huerter is in a major funk again. And this has kind of been his track record since being with the Kings is when it's bad, it's – really bad. It's not like a mini funk. It's kind of like what we talked about with some of the runs the Kings have allowed this year, right? Like where they allow that 45-19 push by the Bulls. You're like, why can't that just be like a 10-2 push? Like, why can't Keegan or why can't Kevin Huerter have a stretch where it's like, oh man, he's off for a couple of games and get out of it. It seems like when he goes bad for like a month.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know what that is. I know you asked him the other day at practice about his mentality and how it has changed since the beginning of the season to now where he thinks he has a better grasp on being able to like, you know, push it in the right direction if things are down, which is great. It's a constant battle for any human, right? But it's like when you're in this position in professional sports, it's going to be asked for you to speed up and figure it out quicker. And Kevin Huerter, poor guy, has not been able to figure it out this season, how to get out of some of these lulls and situations for himself. And it's wild because when you've seen him play well, you go, it's there. Like, what is missing? Is it a confidence thing? Like, is it, what is it?
It just, it seems like when he misses shots, it snowballs for too long. And also, this is the NBA. Guys go through shooting slumps. We've acknowledged that with any player in the league.
Yeah.
But he's had a lot of those this year. And they last a long time. And how do you get yourself out of it, you know? And I think the Kings have tried to find ways to get him out of it at times, try to run some plays for him, get him some good looks. I mean, the looks he had tonight were good.
Yeah.
And he took three shots, but the reality is this is a player that now the last few games, his minutes are dwindling and he's a starter for you, but he's playing. This is not the first time he's playing 16 minutes in a game, right? He did that at LA.
Can I say this too? We weren't talking about his minutes because they won.
Yeah, exactly.
So, like, we're not talking about his minutes, and we're talking about this being a good thing for the rotation, the opportunities for others, as in Keon Ellis, if that is the case, if they're ending with that W. But, unfortunately, it wasn't tonight.
I mentioned Herter being 7 of 28 in March from beyond the arc. Keegan Murray shooting 38%. He's 10 of 39 from 3 in March, not shooting well. Fox is 14 of 46 in the month of March from beyond the arc. That's 30%.
Okay.
On the plus side, Monk, Barnes, and Keon Ellis shooting really well from beyond the arc for the Sacramento Kings. I did feel like tonight, I thought Fox took, I didn't even see what his final, he took 7 of them.
Yeah, 2 of 7. Well, here's my thing. Here's where the only pushback I'll say with that. You got a team. They're really good at defending the paint. But yes, Deuce, you want to find a way to break them down. And here's what you do instead of settling for that 3, just because you're not able to score in the paint. How do you find that spray 3?
That's the one, right? Yes. Because he was still able. I have to look at his shot chart to be sure of it. But it's not like he wasn't able to get some shots in the paint. Like, I think he ended up in this game not efficient at all, obviously, in the paint. I mean, none of the Kings were. I mean, he made 5 shots. But Fox tonight in the paint was 3 of 9. And that doesn't count, like, how many times he got into the paint, too. So, you know, Fox has to, in these situations where maybe the mid-range shot's not dropping or he's not getting the looks, dude, keep the defense honest and be decisive. Still get that paint touch spray and let that ball move around. Get that offense going a little bit. So then that could open up things.
He had 3 different moments with his handles where I was just...
He had some great passes.
And awing. And, like, he had his defender going one way. And it was like he got to the rim and he missed. And when I say he missed, there was a lot of physical contact. How do you make it through that contact? You know, like, I'm not going to sit here and blame an official for every single freaking call that was missed. It's more like, how do you better yourself as an individual to make that through the contact? And it's just something that you practice over time and you keep just trying to work on. And that's why I think ultimately this experience for the Kings, since this is the first time that they played the Knicks this season, is a great little test experience. Oof. All the things.
That's what's going to be in the playoffs. Teams are watching that. Yep. They know we got to protect the paint. And the Kings in March coming into this game were number 1 in points in the paint. That's what happens when you score like 70 plus against the Lakers twice, but they were having a lot of success in that regard. We got a lot more to cover on this and just some look ahead for the Sacramento Kings. Morgan, real fast on the Knicks. They're the 4th seed in the East. The one area of question I had about this group is their record against teams above 500. Yeah. After the win tonight, they're 16 and 24. So not a great mark, but this is a really nice win for them. And look, let's be honest, they're not at full strength. You know, Robinson's out. Julius Randle is still out. You don't know when those guys are coming back. I watch how they play, and I'm like, dude, this team's going to be a problem in the playoffs in the East. The East is not very good. And this Knicks team, they play Orlando. Dude, they're going to be in Orlando's ass. Like, I don't look at the Knicks as necessarily a championship contending team. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they have the firepower to do it, but they've got a guy in Brunson who is fearless, who can get buckets. We've seen him do it for the Mavs when Luka was out in the playoffs. Like, yeah. This guy has a track record of doing it. They've got toughness. They play amazing defense. Everyone talks about Boston because Boston, clear front runner. Miami and New York, to me, are the two teams that are interesting. What about you? What do you think about the Knicks?
With the Knicks, yes. With Miami, I still have, my concerns or questions or whatever. But I think you're exact. But it's track record with them, right? But with the Knicks, I've seen them play this style of basketball all throughout the season consistently, which is so interesting to see how they have played against teams under 500,
Against teams under 500, they're 24-3. In some regard, you go, well, they just beat bad teams. Look, they take care of business. That's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to take care of business against the bad teams.
And then over 500 is where they're okay, we struggle. We have our issues. You see their flaws. And then against a team like the Sacramento Kings, where you would think can an offense in a team that is in March is number one in the paint and doing all the things on the offensive end, can they get things done against this Knicks defense? This Knicks defense doesn't just show up for this game. I feel like they know how to show up with their style of play.
Another point that we keep mentioning Randall and Robinson being out. Dude, OG just got back from injury and he's not 100%. I saw stats tonight on social media. They're 15-2 with OG since they traded for him. They're 15-2 when he plays.
Damn.
And I know on a night where you're like, man, he's 1 of 8, 0 for 4 from 3. Dude, he impacted things. Monk, I think you were talking about a three. Well, maybe you were talking about one Monk made, but Monk took one that I thought was open. I thought it was going to be open three, a step back three. And OG with his length, with a great contest. And it was a missed three.
And
it was awesome. It was a great recovery. And that's what OG does. I mean, he defends everybody on the floor.
You know, and with these teams that we're talking about, even we talk about the Miami Heat or the New York Knicks, for example, you think about their culture and how they're coached and how their teams and their organization have an identity. And I think about Tibbs and how pissed off he would get when, I mentioned early on in this podcast, one breakdown would happen. His standards are so high, and you could tell that this team feeds into what is needed from them. And they buy in. It makes for a lot of fun basketball. For low scoring basketball, it makes for a lot of fun basketball, but not when you're on the other end of it losing the game.
Well, they have players that he just would love, right? Like Josh Hart, that's a Tom Thibodeau player. That guy goes and gets offensive rebounds. He's undersized, plays hard, he's physical. He had that flagrant foul on Keegan, but the guy plays that way.
Push Keon in the back at the end.
Push Keon in the back. But he's physical. I love his game.
And doesn't OG. Get called for it because he sets the tone.
OG can defend five positions. Hartenstein's just a big body. He plays physical. He rebounds. DiVincenzo, just a grinder, right? Didn't shoot efficiently, but he still has a way to impact things. We know what Brunson does. This is their team. And then they have guys that Tom Thibodeau is Boyan. I don't love Boyan probably because of his defense, but the guy, they need some shooting out there. Yes. They need, and he's had a kind of quiet start since coming over the Knicks. Same with Burks in his return to New York. But both those guys, combined for 21 tonight. So
it's pretty wild looking at the Eastern Conference and thinking about
it's so mid.
Mid. You look at Orlando is in that fifth spot and Indiana Pacers are now in that sixth spot. Philly has dropped to seventh. It's so frustrating at times because every single night, you're on the NBC Sports California broadcast with me on Monday, and it's we always look over the Western Conference standings in the pregame and then in the postgame. And it is wild seeing how many changes there are with different teams losing, winning, all these things. Pelicans won tonight, tough. All Kings losing, dropping to that seventh spot.
Let's give some love to the people hanging out with us live after a Kings loss. Appreciate you guys being here. If you have not done so yet, hit the thumbs up and make sure you're subscribed. Even if you're a Knicks fan checking us out tonight, hit the thumbs up and subscribe.
And thank you.
We appreciate you. We do Kings and NBA content. All right. We should mention, too, that tonight's podcast presented by our friends here at Northwest Exteriors. You need new windows, Morgan?
Yeah. Well, I got some.
Where should you go if you need new windows?
You go to Northwest Exteriors. You reach out today. My sister just did the same thing. She got a few windows done that are actually changing the look of her entire house. And her house is super old, so it's also making these rooms make sure to keep in the heat in the winter, keep in the cold in the summer, all those things. It's going to save her money. It's been saving me money. On top of all that, get this.
I'm getting it. Go ahead.
This is actually kind of really funny that I mentioned this. I went to the doctor, got a blood test, and my vitamin D levels were low. And it's like, yo, you're sometimes like you're just not in the sun enough and you're just in your house. I would keep my windows, my shades shut all the time. Ever since I got the UV protection on the windows, no joke, I've had the blinds open. My plants are staying alive. I feel a little bit healthier. Northwest Exteriors has saved my life.
Go to their showroom in Rancho Cordova or check out their website, trustnorthwest.com, Morgan Reagan, because as you sing...
Simply the best, Trust Northwest.
Appreciate their support, the Deuce and Mo Podcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Morgan, who is your rock and soul player?
Oh, the game. Jalen Brunson, dog, rock and soul player of the game, 100% for sure. Yeah. Okay.
That was awesome, man.
He was.
And 42 points, 17 of 28 shooting, 5 of 10 from 3.
Talk about a guy that, you know, doesn't always get the love that he deserves. Obviously, in Dallas, didn't get the love that he deserves and has just been able
to... He didn't get it last year. He should have been All-Star last year. Did not make the All-Star team last year. It was absurd.
And so it's just, it's nice to see him just flourish in his role. I don't like to see it against the Sacramento Kings. Kings were throwing everything at him. He was unstoppable. That's why, like, I'm not even pissed off about his game and about what the Kings, like, didn't do against him, because the next highest scorer on the Knicks squad was DiVincenzo with 15. Brunson was just everything for them.
Yeah, our Rock and Soul player of the game. If you're in Sacramento, you got to go to Rock and Soul Diner, just 6 blocks away from Golden 1 Center. Breakfast, lunch, dinner. You can get breakfast all day. That's a W. Rock and Soul Diner.
That's a dub.
What other things do we need to talk about from tonight's game, Morgan Reagan?
Let's see. I'm trying to think. We got the Herter stuff, the Murray.
Let's talk about what they tried to do with Jalen, because we just talked about how great Jalen Brunson was tonight. I thought Fox had some good moments, but dude, they run so much action to like try to get switches. The Kings did throw different looks. They put Keegan on him at times. It didn't seem to matter. Fox, we talked about Davion. I thought Keon had some nice moments. This guy's just a damn good player. I'll tell you this. I don't know what to say. They blitzed him.
Well, the blitz and the doubles that would happen near the top of the half court line, there was a few that were actually like, yes, and the reason why they were working at times, Sabonis was doing a good job of moving laterally, but it was taking away his vision, right? You want to talk about an undersized guard. You have someone as big as Sabonis being able to stay with you and actually take away some of your vision. It felt like it was going to work a little bit.
Well, I thought that was a big reason why Tom Thibodeau ended up playing Boyan and Burks more, because they went, we got to have more shooting on the floor. So that was the thought process there. It's like, all right, they're going to blitz us. We need some shooters around.
Yeah. And then, you know, and then the times that the blitz would break down in the way that guys would have to recover, it wasn't quick enough, but the effort was there. That's what I love too, is that I remember seeing so many years of Kings basketball when there would be zero effort of like running around and like rotating the right way. And it was just like, does anyone even give a shit about playing out there? And you never have to question that with this Kings team all throughout the four quarters. It's just like, okay, great. It's there. It's wanted that defensive effort. Now, how do you find a way to take it to the next level of just executing it, right? Like, I don't know. I think they're on the right track. I think we've seen a lot of progress. But yeah, Jalen Brunson, they tried slowing down, and then when they did have to recover and rotate and be slow on a closeout, it was damaging.
The Knicks had 44 points in the paint in this game, which is, you know, you go from Sacramento's perspective, that's not bad. That's not a bad number to give up 44 points. 20 of the 44 came from Brunson. He was 10 of 12 in the paint. 10 of 12 in the paint. Jeez. Sacramento, meanwhile, only had 36 points in the paint. They were 18 of 41 in the paint. Mm. Man, they adjust well with Sabonis, man. They threw so much at him. I think that's one area, like, I'm curious how the Kings can adjust. Is like, Sabonis, we know the Kings run their shit through Sabonis, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's a lot of their offense. They have tried to add more, right? Using, you know, the horn set with Fox. They're putting the ball in Monk's hands, running pick and rolls, and then Fox immediately passing to Monk for him to create. They try some different things, but really, when Sabonis is on the floor, they're getting him the rock. Let's run the offense through him. What can they do better? What can Sabonis do something more? What can the Kings do better when he is getting like double teamed and triple teamed and banged around by these physical teams?
I think sometimes he can make a quicker decision. I think other times, I love the way that he'll battle through three different bodies down low and like do what he needs to do. It's understanding the personnel and who you're, the matchup and who you're going up against. And I think with the Knicks, they are relentless, and they were relentless against him tonight. And when they are, that, like, you can't be the hero. You can't be the guy to push through those three guys. You got to make a quicker decision, because once that triple trap is there, you're screwed. And I think we saw that happen a few too many times tonight. And I think the other thing too, dudes, we mentioned this already. Every guy out there needs to be productive on that end of the floor. And that's not just making your shots. That's
being a threat.
Thank you. Being willing to be a threat. Yeah. Being willing.
This is one where Keegan, like, he did a lot of good defensively, but he didn't play down the stretch. And I don't know for certain. I don't know if Mike Brown was asked about it after the game, but I think part of it was because of what he wasn't trying to do offensively.
Yeah.
Harrison Barnes was trying to be aggressive. Harrison Barnes is like, I'm going to go ahead and try to attack. And I think Keegan needs to have that mindset. Like, I thought there were too many times in these situations, Sabonis getting triple teamed, if they kick it back out, it's like there was no one putting other pressure on the defense. Like, mm-hmm. Keegan can't just give up the ball easily, right? Like, you have to be decisive and make something happen. I mentioned it earlier. I thought Davion did the same thing, where Davion, he hasn't hesitated from three multiple times tonight. When he had some space to shoot a three, he didn't feel comfortable. And I don't know if it was because of the Knicks' length. I don't know if he was just trying to mix it up. I don't know. I just felt like there was some hesitancy.
I think the one other thing, too, in a game like this, especially with this much physicality, not being able to go to someone like Trey Lyles, just one extra weapon. We always talk about the depth, and he will be reevaluated in 2 weeks after spraining his MCL.
Yeah, that's a tough one. And it's tough because Sasha's still out. I did hear today.
What'd you hear?
That Sasha is getting closer, like potentially in the next week. closer.
Come on. And but so, even I don't but know. Even what that means, you know, it's like, okay, how far behind is he back with his conditioning?
Yeah, he's been getting some shots up though. And I don't know. I mean, getting in game shape is, he's been out for a minute, right? And he was
tough
initially. I think when they announced that he had the injury, I think that was February 13th ish. They said he'd be reevaluated in 4 to 6 weeks. Well, I think we're at like 4.5 weeks now. I think he's getting close. And that would be big. If he's able to come back, I think that helps him, especially without Lyles. You know, Sasha was playing some good basketball before he got hurt.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he was. And he's tough. And I think against a tough team like the New York Knicks, also, that's where it would have been.
Decisive. Nice. He's going to shoot it.
And decisive.
Know? And I'm seeing some people in the chat talk about Keegan. Look, he's a young player in this league. And he has shown so much growth this season in expanding his offensive game. Even if he's less efficient from three this year, he's doing things this year that he didn't do at all last year offensively. I can't tell you how many times he got blocked at the rim last year on dunk attempts, on layups. It happened all the time. And defensively, he's getting targeted. He's one of their better defenders now, and he's doing better things offensively. But He still has room to grow. He's not a finished product, nor should he be. He's got some things to work on this offseason. And he's a smart player who works hard. When he goes back and watches this tape tonight, he's going to see what he did wrong.
Yeah.
Same thing with Keon Ellis. Like, you think Keon Ellis is ever going to look like that on a screen on that situation late in the game? It's not going to happen. You got to learn from this.
Yeah. And I think sometimes expectations for, and I mean, this is even in wins that like things that we don't talk about, because it's like there's so many good things to talk about after a win, but sometimes the expectations for some of these younger guys, it's pretty bizarre. So you got to understand, just everyone's human and trying to develop and learn from these situations in NBA minutes, and you hope that everyone takes a leap. And I think with Keegan Murray, it's like we've seen a lot of growth in his game. It would be nice to see him find some consistency with him making those threes again, too.
People talking about his bag. Keegan has a three, pump fake three, or pump fake drive. This is entire back. That's just not true. I mean, he has shown some dude, he did it in the OKC. I mean, he did it against on the road in Minnesota. Put the ball on the floor, made a move, got by Jaden McDaniels. A good defender.
Don't make
McDaniels
us make a Keegan tape, because
do not make me. I will throw a Keegan tape at
we
you.
We love making these.
He's
tapes.
Made enough growth. Like, dude, yeah, is he? He's not breaking guys down like he's, you know, one of the best.
Like he's De'Aaron Fox with his crossover year two.
I mean, he's not there yet, and that's okay. He needs to develop it, and I think he's going to work on. He worked on so much this offseason, so he's got more work to do.
Yeah.
You know, I think he's a player that has shown a lot. One person in chat says, y'all bugging on Keegan. The Kings don't let him play in the post like he was at Iowa. They make him a three-point shooter, but he plays well in the post. Yeah, I think that's something that, you know, that was talked about earlier in the year. Keegan is pretty comfortable in the post, and they should utilize that a little bit more, especially with the size.
That's also got to be him. He's also, like, I'm sure Mike Brown gives freedom to certain guys, and it's like, that's got to be him saying, get out of my way, give me the ball, and let me go. But he doesn't do that. He doesn't do that. And is it a year two thing? Well, it better be, because it better not be a year three thing, right? And that's when you can be like, okay, is he taking that leap even in that situation? But right now, like, He's taken so many other leaps with his skill sets that I'm like, I'm cool with that. Now take this one next year.
Alexis in the chat says, can't believe that Keegan is a second-year player and he's not Pete Kawhi Leonard yet.
Great point. Great point.
Yeah. Oh, man. What's a Sharif Jewelers moment of the game? Is there a moment of this game for you?
Any crossover and spin move by De'Aaron Fox was a moment, but how about that? Again, it's always the alley-oop, the Kentucky connection. De'Aaron throws it up in transition, especially when they were not making or they did not have a lot of transition points.
That was a nice play.
De'Aaron threw it up, lob to Monk.
I like that you always want to name a positive. We can put that. We'll put that. I would say the other moment just has to be early in the first quarter when Hartenstein, it's one of the worst call non-calls I've ever seen in an NBA game.
You know what I like about it, though? About it not being called? Because that was a big identity of the game.
You like that Hartenstein just tackled Sabonis to the ground?
No. Because that was him setting the tone and being like, hey, refs, are you going to call this? Oh, you're not? Great. I'm going to continue with this type of play and this type of physicality. And that's exactly what he did and the rest of the team did. So, no, I'm not saying I liked it, but I'm saying, like, he tested the waters in the officiating crew and said, cool, this is the tone that's going to be set.
In the chat, I'm a doll says, who do Kings fans think the Kings can beat in the playoffs? They are the weakest team in the playoffs. Sorry, Kings fans. Kings won't beat the Lakers. Interesting. Hold on. Fast one, two,
check
three.
Check the math.
I'm a doll. They beat the Lakers four times this year. Okay, check. They can't beat the Pelicans. Well, they haven't done that. That's for sure. Not going to beat Minnesota. Oh, let me see here.
How many times did they beat them?
Are the only team who has won in Minnesota twice this season. Okay, we'll check that. Can't beat the Clippers. They've beat the Clippers. We'll note that.
Tough matchup,
though. They can't beat the Denver Nuggets.
Wow. Wait, didn't they beat the Nuggets?
Technically speaking, they did beat them 3 of 4. We should note that Jamal Murray missed a couple of those games. Uh-huh. So did KCP and Porter missed one. So
we are honest with our breakdown.
Yeah. So I'm a doll.
I'm like you, shitty little troll.
Keep the basketball conversation to us. T in the chat, Knicks fan says, you were doing okay, but here you go with the ref BS. How many times did Brunson get hit driving to the hole? I'm not saying that the refs cost the Kings the game at all. I was saying it was ultra physical.
700 times.
I mean, we're not homers in that regard.
I liked that Hartenstein was ripping someone down and set the tone. What the shit else do you want, you shitty little troll?
Come on, T. How many times do we have to give the Knicks love tonight? This sounds like we're doing Locked On Knicks.
Like what?
My goodness.
What do you want? What? No, I'm not even going
to
say
it. Anyway, shout out to Street Jewelers for our moment of the game. Okay, coming up next, Morgan.
Yeah.
Sacramento Kings are at home taking on the Memphis Grizzlies, who just got Desmond Bane back.
And Desmond Bane, I believe, had a pretty good game tonight against OKC, even though they did end up falling to OKC.
Well, it was a close game, 118-112. They lose to Oklahoma City. Bane returned. Yes. He played in this game. He had 22 points, 7 assists on 7 of 17 shooting, 4 of 9 from 3. Jaren Jackson Jr. had 19 points for them. Yeah, obviously this is not a team that has a lot of depth, but getting Bane back is big. This, put it simply, Morgan.
Yeah.
The Kings need to go on a 3-game winning streak, and it starts Monday.
Put it simply.
No.
That sounds easy.
This is the time of year you go, they have to win 3 in a row.
Who they got?
Memphis.
Okay.
At Toronto.
Yeah.
At Washington.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, this is that stretch, because then the rest of the schedule.
It doesn't. I'm not looking any further than that. You need to win the next 3 games in a row. After that, you've got Orlando. I looked ahead for you.
Thank you.
The next 3 games, all against teams below 500. Grizzlies, Raptors, Wizards. It doesn't mean you go and chalk those up as guaranteed W's. No. It doesn't mean you go into it with that mindset. You know, it's the NBA. Any team can beat any team. And we've seen the Kings lose to any team. The Pistons, the Hornets, the Blazers. We've seen it firsthand. You got to win the next 3. If you play defense like you have played the last 3 games, then these next 3 games shouldn't be close. These should be laughers. These should be games we're talking about. Mason Jones is playing. These are games.
I hate when you do this, though. Like, and not, no, no, no. And here's,
No, you're not listening. If you say you hate, I didn't say I'm predicting that.
I'm not saying you are.
If you approach these games like you have approached the last 3 games, these should be wins. Mm-hmm. And that's what the approach. That's what the expectation should be. This team needs to win the next 3 games in a row.
Mm-hmm. I don't have those same expectations. And I think because I go back to not being this. I'm just saying for me, I try not to be a prisoner of the moment after those last two wins and being like, okay, this is what we're going to get now, because we've seen so much up and down throughout the entire season that I look at these next couple of games and I go, yes, that's what I hope to see. But this Kings team has not proven to me that I can expect that. That's why I guess my expectations aren't there, even though I get what you're saying.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying those are my expectations. I'm just talking about how they've been playing this month. This should be an opportunity.
Yeah.
Like this is the time.
The same defense that they play tonight, they got to play against Memphis on Monday. And it's end of story.
Dude, Harrison Barnes talked about that after the Kings win against the Lakers the other night. He literally said this, and we say this as people who watch the team all the time, and people in the chat say the same thing. They can get up and play teams like the Bucks and Lakers. They can get up for the good teams. They have to show that they can do it consistently. And so on a Monday night, it's not a lot of life in a building on a Monday night. Memphis in town, you look at their record, or if you're on the road, you're going, we're in Toronto at Washington. It's easy to kind of let off the gas. You can't.
You just can't. I mean,
it just can't happen.
It's you have to pour it all out there. And that was something else Chelsea and I talked about, I think, in the pregame show or maybe in the postgame, whatever. But was like thinking back on so many games that you're going to have those regrets. And the regrets, not only with the ending result, whether it was an L or W, obviously an L in these regrets, but did you do everything in your power? Did you actually leave it all out there? Did you have nothing else left in the tank? You could say in some of those, maybe you did, and it was just an off night for you. But then where was the rest of your team? You know, like there's more than just one of you to pick up the slack. And it's not like this team has De'Aaron Fox and a whole bunch of bums either. You know, like this is, it's a good style of basketball. It's a winning style of basketball. And in a really tough Western Conference. Yeah. Like again, this would look different in the Eastern Conference.
So the Kings now are 38-28. So 10 games above 500 at this point, but with the loss, they fall back to seventh in the West. That's just where it's at. Around the West tonight, too, Lakers and Warriors played. The Warriors ended up leaving. Anthony Davis left that game after 12 minutes. It scratched like his eye pretty bad. Like I guess it was swollen shut. He did not return in the game. LeBron did, in the game, score 40-plus points, I believe. Kind of crazy. It was 128-121. LeBron, 40 points, 9 assists, 8 rebounds. Jesus. Steph Curry made his return. 31 points in the win for the Golden State Warriors. Also got 23 from Kuminga, and Klay had 26 points off the bench. Here's a question.
What's your question?
And it goes back to the Kings. The guy I just mentioned, Klay Thompson.
That guy.
Klay Thompson is way more productive off the bench for this group.
I've thought about all this, and I know where you're going. Go on.
At this point, we're searching for Kevin Huerter, right? And I'm not the type that like goes, hey, you got to bury this guy. Just don't play him. No, I think Kevin Huerter can help your team. Right. I think Kevin Huerter can knock down some shots. He can get a little two-man action. Like, I like what he can do. Why not try it off the bench?
So,
and if I'm Mike Brown, that's the example I use. Klay Thompson's won championships in this league. Klay Thompson has done it at a high level, an all-star level. Why can't Kevin Huerter do that?
So they can, They can. Like, they could literally do that same thing. And I'm not opposed to it. I'm not opposed to seeing Malik Monk and Kevin Huerter coming off the bench and being the first two guys within the second unit coming out. Like, I know there's an ego thing around the league, and it could feel like you are being demoted, but these honest conversations happen, and with teams that need adjustments most and the players that understand it most, it usually ends up working.
I mean, I think in some ways it probably feels worse to start and play 16 minutes. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I mean, of course you want to see your NBA minutes.
I think my advice, I'm sure Kevin really cares about Deuce Mason's advice.
I'm sure he does not.
Dude, if I was Kevin, I might think about going to Mike and going, you know what, Keon's playing well. Let me come off. Let me try. Because I want to find a different rhythm. Let me come off the bench and play with Malik and like. No, I don't think that's crazy, dude.
I think that's crazy.
Russell Westbrook did that with the Clippers.
You're not doing that at this point in your career, though. Under 30 years old.
Because you're saying then you get labeled as a bench guy.
You're doing so many things to your career if you are saying that. Now, if you're being told that, yeah, it's a different story.
And I guess with Clay, it's different because Clay, and one, it's not like Clay was happy about it either. Clay didn't like it at first, yeah, and he struggled with it. I think he's still been up and down with it. But he's seemingly more productive off the bench. Clay's also at the back end of his career.
Correct.
Where Kevin Huerter is like, I'm still in my prime.
Back end,
yeah,
has made the money, has the rings, like all of the things to be like, how can I shift that so I can still find a role in this league and be productive? Yeah,
I mean, I don't know. I'm just searching because, you know, in January and February, Kevin Huerter was 48% from the field, 39% from three.
Oh, the time.
And so there's still a lot of games to go this month, but I'm just trying to think about it. And I think Keon has just been fantastic. You know, I know he made some mistakes tonight, but I think he's done some really good things for Sacramento.
And let's say he's having an off night in that starting role. Great. You sub in your guy, Kevin. You sub in your guy, Malik, whoever else. Like, it's not bad depth to have. It's just trying to make sure that you have everyone on the same track and everyone's going to be happy with these roles. Even if they're not happy with it, are they buying in? I mean, that's their contract that they all signed, buying in. So buy into whatever role you got to be in.
Morgan, anything else we missed tonight?
No, I mean, I feel like in some ways, because I know our podcast wasn't even that short or anything, but how this game was with scoring,
yeah,
is kind of like the same way I feel like we kind of talked about this game tonight. Like, we got everything in. We touched on every single angle and topic, in my opinion. But yeah, I hope we get what we want to see.
Oh, Morgan. If the Kings lose to the Grizzlies on Monday,
what are you going to do? Yeah, what are you going to... Yeah, no, what are you going to do? You have nothing to say.
Not doing night chat.
I knew you... Oh, okay. I'll be here by myself, and you're full of shit. You're addicted to it.
No, I will sit here.
You're literally addicted.
Oh, how about this? I'll be here for it. I'll let you do it. I'll just sit here like this.
Perfect.
And listen to you.
And then I'll just sing about it the whole time.
If the Kings, listen to me and listen to me good. If the Kings lose to the Grizzlies on Monday, I don't even want the play-in. Just put us in the lottery. Cancel it. I don't even want it. You don't deserve it. If you lose
what
to
a baby bitch.
If you lose to the Memphis Grizzlies at home, I'm done. I'm out. I'm done.
So, okay, kiddo. That's season not how over. Life works.
Actually, that's what I want. Forfeit the rest. You lose that Monday to the Memphis Grizzlies, forfeit the season.
Deuce is the kid that, like, on the blacktop playing wall ball.
No.
You miss one thing, and then you just drop kick the ball, and you walk away.
That's not it.
Sounds like it. Giving up. Except you're drop kicking the ball.
The people agree with me.
Oh,
the people
stop.
Agree with me.
Goodbye. Then I'll be here by myself. Bye, everyone.
Morgan.
Yeah.
Give me some of your final thoughts.
Final thoughts. You know, it was fun coming in here after a loss and not being depressed. Like, for myself.
That's
I'm not
fair.
Saying
yeah.
that that's okay that the Kings didn't win. No. I'm just saying, like, yeah, as a fan of the game, as someone that enjoys and roots for the Kings to do well and win, it's like, it was nice to still be able to break down a lot of good things. And while also taking a look at some of the bad things and what the Kings could actually take from a game like this. But we're this late in the season and... I don't need any more lessons. I'm only saying that too because it was the first matchup against the Knicks all season long.
My final thought is this. There was a lot I liked tonight.
Yeah.
And I would be more disgusted if we were here tonight going, wow, the Kings got shut down and the Knicks scored 125 points. The Kings lost. And they were held, like, they lost by 27.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
That would be like a typical Kings where, like, the offense bad, it impacts everything. What I like the last three games is they've been much better defensively. The physicality's been there. The closeouts have been better. The fight's been there. I like that. And you talk about, there can't be lessons. I disagree. This is still the early stages with this group. This is the second year. Like, there are lessons, and there's going to be more. The Rockets gave them a lesson, right? Punked them. Absolutely punked them on their home floor. Tonight, they embrace some physicality. Not everybody, but there's lessons that can be learned. Keegan can learn from this game, right? Keon's going to learn from this game late in this situation. Sabonis has some things to learn. Mike Brown has some things to learn how to set his team up better offensively. I liked how they battled tonight. They missed shots. They knocked down a couple of threes early. Who knows what this game looks like? This Knicks team is legit. They play their asses off, play great defense. I'm not, like, disgusted by tonight.
One other thing, too. I want to make sure that we get to any super chats we might have missed.
Thank you so much.
You are so welcome.
Let's get to some super chats. We gave shout-outs to Kenneth and Geeky Nana for gifting subs. Shout-out to Keegan Murray Watch, donating $2, saying 316. That was our three-point percentage.
Hey!
Funny stuff. Fourth quarter donated $2 from Canada, saying, Knicks made the game ugly. That's their brand.
Facts.
That's for sure. Oleg donated $5. Appreciate that. Saying, we'll get the next win.
Positive attitude. Mm. I don't like it.
Yeah. Also, Tyler, you're welcome. Tyler, I got him some tickets to tonight's game. Donated some tickets to him. Donated. What am I saying? He donated like he's a charity. I give out tickets to home games every once in a while. And I've been trying to get him to a game for a while, and I gave him tickets, and he had a great time.
That was really nice.
Even though this
of
team
you.
Lost.
Really nice.
I wasn't looking for that. He just kept mentioning it. So I just want to say, you're welcome. No problem. I'm sorry we didn't get a chance to meet. Anyway, we appreciate you guys so, so, so much for hanging out with us. We'll be back again Monday night. We're going to be on Kings pre and post game that night. According to my calendar, it's the final Deuce Mason appearance on NBC Sports California for Kings pre and post. Scheduled one left. Kings, okay. Grizzlies could be the final Deuce and Mo Kings pre and post game of this season.
So be loud if you want it different.
Yes. Make some noise.
Picketing, fire.
Also, we'll be live, of course, after the game with Night Chat. We love you guys so much, but we got to go.
Thanks for hanging out with us on a Saturday night. Hope you enjoyed. See ya.
Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo. They tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo. The podcast that you know. Deuce and Mo.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.